Good afternoon, brothers and sisters. I'd like to welcome everybody out to the Heatheridge Sixth Ward Sacrament Service this afternoon. My name is Brother Tom Crabb, and I'm conducting today, and the presiding will be Bishop Roberts. And I'd like to welcome anyone visiting or anyone new in the ward to our service today. And if you have any questions about where to go for second hour, just grab any of us. We'll point you in the right direction. So we'd like to call your attention to the program for some announcements, and I'll call out a few others. There is a face-to-face event for the youth with President Dallin Oaks and his wife next Sunday. It'll be broadcast at 4 p.m., and we'd encourage all families with children between 8 and 18 to gather together and watch that and take in the information. We also have a ward party coming up on Friday the 28th, so coming up in almost a couple weeks. And it's called Share Your Light Celebration, and that's where we want to see what your talents, skills, other things are. We have slots for people to do live performances. We have ability to do presentations. Also, if you have a live performance that doesn't lend itself maybe to doing it live, maybe a video of what you've done in the past, either sports or dance or something like that, we certainly want to welcome you to get with either Carrie Richardson or Ed Johnson or anyone, and we'll try and get that pulled together. We're looking forward to seeing what all the talents in the ward are on the 28th, and that will be at 6:30 here at the Stake Center. There's also, best I can tell, Robert, not if this is true, there's a teacher's council today? Okay, yeah, we're planning to do it at the back of the cultural hall where the elders' quorum usually meets. So all teachers during second hour, that's a chance to kind of get together as a teacher's council and discuss and learn new skills and share ideas together. So that'll be in the back of the cultural hall during the second hour. We also have, they're bringing out a new Wi-Fi. So if you've looked at your Wi-Fi today, there's one called Liahona out there besides LDS Access. It's in accordance to kind of make sure we're all using the proper name of the church. So the LDS Access will be phased out as of middle of April. So it's not an emergency today. But if you go out and see Liahona, you can use the password Alma 3738, which is the scripture where the Liahona is discussed. And so you can sign on, and that will be the new LDS Access now. It will be called Liahona. And lastly, if any of you have been out on the LDS.org or the, I guess, churchofchrist.org site, you've seen a new app called Gospel Living App they're talking about. And the Gospel Living App is something that's not just for youth, but it's for youth and families. And it's available on the app stores. You can get it for either Apple or Android. And we encourage all of you to go out and download the app. It's a place where the youth can put in their goals. You can track things. There's a concept called circles, which is kind of a way to do social media within the church context. We'll be able to use it for not just youth activities, but you'll be able to see your priesthood lessons, your Sunday school lessons, everything will be there. And we want to try and get everybody gravitating towards that. So if you get time this week, we don't want everybody during sacrament going out and downloading the app and checking it out. But if you get a chance this week, it's called Gospel Living. It looks kind of like a light blue app with a couple of leaves on it. Go ahead and download that. Sign up, put your information in, and you can start using the app, and we'll start scheduling things through there. And that will be one of the things we use very, very much throughout the ward. So with that, we'll go ahead and open the meeting with singing hymn number 10, Come Sing to the Lord, and then the invocation will be offered by Jacob Wells.
Our dear Heavenly Father, we're very grateful to gather together today. We're grateful for the Sabbath day and that we can rest from our cares of the week, and we ask Thee for the Spirit to be with us and to be with our speakers today. We ask for help for those who need help in our ward, and to bless those who are in need of it. And we love Thee, and we say this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
I'd like to thank the Aaronic Priesthood for the reverent manner in which they administered and passed the sacrament today. We have a great program for you today. Our first speaker will be Rick Schoaf. And many of you may think, well, didn't we just see Rick back in October? But he only got to give about 2 or 3 minutes of his talk, and he was gracious enough to come back and finish his talk. So we're happy to have him speak to us today. We'll then have an intermediate hymn, number 108, The Lord is My Shepherd. Then our concluding speaker will be Blake Lesh. Many of you may remember, many not. He was in our ward, Randy and Tina Porter. Tina's Blake's mother. So he is here through high school. They ended up leaving from his mission, for his mission in Idaho. And he did his homecoming in Idaho last week, and he was wanting to come and speak in our warden since I was in charge this month. It's always good to have a speaker volunteer to come and speak. So happy to have Blake here to speak in our ward. And once Blake's concluded, we'll take it to that point. Thank you.
So the funny thing is I only prepared a few minutes last time. It worked out perfect. So I kind of had to scramble, just kidding. This is actually, I'm really grateful Brother Crabb gave me the opportunity to speak again, because this talk, I feel really strongly about it. It's something I've seen firsthand in my life and in my family's lives, and I'm sure all of us have been dealing with this one way or another our lives. This is the talk by Elder Peter M. Johnson of the 70, Power to Overcome the Adversary. This was last conference in October. It was one of the last talks given. So all of you probably remember it. Basically, I think just to start off, the complexity and the overcomplication that we see in our like world is pretty crazy. I just try to remember back when I was in high school. We didn't have smartphones. I had a flip phone, I think. I got a flip phone when I was a sophomore. So that was pretty cool. But I can't even remember social media. Like, it was not what it is today. The amount of information we have access to is pretty wild. And anybody can say anything on the internet. There's nothing really to back those facts. And there's a lot of deciphering and a lot of noise, I guess is the best word for it. Physically, I'm gonna break this up a little bit, but physically there's new diets and exercise plans that we hear of every day that are the miracle workers, right, of how to stay fit. There's home remedies and medications and things that we are told that we should take to make our lives better and more enjoyable or happier. Socially, we're, I talked about this, but endless opinions, the social media, there's bullying through the internet, which is, as well as bullying at school, and it's, as a father, it's something I'm more and more conscious of because my kids are getting into this world now, and it's part of it. So, trying to teach them how to decipher and learn and be the good examples to help others. Spiritually, I think as a result, we have at times overcomplicated the gospel and our discipleship. Perhaps we put more energy, and I know I've been victim of this, but put more energy towards things I maybe shouldn't put energy towards. And it's pretty refreshing because I think the church is addressing that. We've seen with 2-hour church, like instead of 3 hours, now it's 2 hours, and now we get to focus more on it at home, and that's been a huge blessing for me and my family. And that's just simplifying our discipleship. Ministering versus home teaching, these are just a few examples of what the church has done and the brethren have done, changes they've made recently. It's higher focus on the people and the members. Reorganization and shifting, refocusing of energy within the ward through bishopric with the youth, and then reorganization of the elders' quorum. Obviously, there's been a lot of reorganization going on lately. Conference talks, just in general, I feel like have been way more straightforward and clear and simple. And that may just be me, but that's what I've seen. It truly is, it's refreshing, because I feel blessed that we're a part of a church that truly does receive revelation and adjusts and helps the members based on the times that we're in. It's still the same church, we still have the same principles, the same gospel, but it changes with what we have around us and the problems we're dealing with. So there's... I know the Lord directs the church as we've seen those changes come, but there really is one single simple purpose of the church, and that's for us as members and disciples to overcome the natural man and gain eternal life. Moses 1:39, famous verse says, "For behold, this is my work and my glory, to bring to pass the immortality and eternal life of man." So to achieve this, there's a plan, obviously, and Christ is the center of it. Every step we take, every covenant we make, and every ordinance we participate in is centered around Christ and his atonement for us to be able to achieve our purpose here on earth and return back to him and Heavenly Father. So now I'm going to kind of shift towards Elder Johnson's talk. he said at the beginning of his talk, he said, "You are elect sons and daughters of God." And if you remember that the way he spoke was so amazing. His voice and the way he delivered his talk was it was very, very strong. So go re-listen to it or watch it on the Gospel Library app. But he says, "You have the power to overcome the adversary. The adversary, however, is aware of who you are. He knows of your divine heritage and seeks to limit your earthly and heavenly potential by using the three D's." You remember these: deception, distraction, and discouragement. So I'm going to talk about these a little bit. First is deception. The adversary, he said, Elder Johnson said, "The adversary used the tool of deception in the days of Moses. The Lord declared to Moses, 'Behold, thou art my son. I have a work for thee, and thou art in the similitude of my only begotten.' Shortly after this glorious vision, Satan attempted to deceive Moses. The words he used are interesting: 'Moses, son of man, worship me.' The deception was not only in the invitation to worship Satan, but also in the way he described Moses as a son of man. Remember, the Lord had just told Moses he was a son of God, created in the similitude of the only begotten. The adversary was relentless in his attempts to deceive Moses, but Moses resisted, saying, 'Depart from me, Satan, for this one God only will I worship, which is the God of glory.' Moses remembered who he was, a son of God. The Lord's words to Moses apply to you and me. We are created in God's own image, and he has a work for us to do. The adversary attempts to deceive by having us forget who we truly are. If we do not understand who we are, then it is difficult to recognize who we can become." So how does Satan use deception in our lives today? Just when I was putting this together, obviously with the internet and the abundant amount of information we have at our fingertips, how much of this information is real or true? The media, how much of these are just questions you can think about, but in the media, how much of the information that we see in the media is based on actual facts without bias? Again, I'm not looking to necessarily answer these questions, but simply trying to illustrate how easily Satan can infiltrate our lives, thoughts, opinions, and views of the world, and more importantly, how he can infiltrate our view of the gospel and our purpose for this life. I've had several people really close to me. I probably shared this in Elder Scorn before, but a few people really close to me that have been, they've left the church because of something they've read or quote unquote learned about church history from anti-church literature. And how can we truly know what is real and what is not real? Who is credible and who isn't? So the answer to that question is we need to turn to the one person that knows everything, which is our Heavenly Father. Look to the scriptures, pray for guidance. Don't ask your friends, mom's neighbor's friend, or worse, the internet. By turning to Heavenly Father and our Savior, you will receive the answers. And they may not come immediately or in your time, but you'll find them and you will receive that inspiration and that knowledge. Of that, I'm sure. So the next D is distraction. Elder Johnson said, "The adversary also attempts to distract us away from Christ and his covenant path." Elder Ronald A. Rasband shared the following: "The adversary's design is to distract us from spiritual witnesses, while the Lord's desire is to enlighten and engage us in his work." So how does he distract us away from Christ and his path today? Technology, social media, video games, careers, work. There's a long list of things that we do in our lives that could be, not saying they necessarily are, but they could be distractions. There's obviously a balance that we need to find in our lives. Is social media bad? No, look at the church's influence that it has in social media. Is playing video games a bad thing? No. Unless that's all you do, then that's probably not a good thing. Your career, your work, or your hobbies, again, these are all good things that we should be doing, and I think the Lord wants us to do and focus on, but there needs to be a balance. Be conscious of the forces in your life. Consciously choose which activities to do and when to do them. One activity could be totally appropriate at one time in your life and inappropriate at another time. Listen to the Holy Ghost. He will guide you through your heart and thoughts when you are trying to make the right decisions, and even if you make a wrong one, evaluate and correct your path back towards Christ. And that's probably the most important part of that is when we do make an error, we do make a mistake, or we don't have that balance Don't fret. Don't worry. That's why we have repentance, and that's expected, and the Lord understands our hearts and where we're wanting to be. Make those changes and get back on track, and that's it. Like, that's all it is. That's overcoming the natural man. So the adversary's design is to distract us from spiritual witnesses, while the Lord's desire is to enlighten and engage us in his work. That was a quote from Elder Johnson. Third D is discouragement. Lastly, the adversary desires for us to become discouraged. We may get discouraged when we compare ourselves to others or feel we are not living up to expectations, including our own. This is probably my favorite out of all of them. I'm going to read this again because it's very, very important. Lastly, the adversary desires for us to become discouraged. We may get discouraged when we compare ourselves to others or feel we are not living up to expectations, including our own. So two ways Satan tries to get us discouraged is one, comparing ourselves to others, and two, not living up to expectations, even our own expectations. back to social media. I don't know why social media, I'm making it this bad guy, but in social media, we only see the perfect lives of people. We see their successes. We never see their failures. We see their fun trips they're taking, their nice things that they buy, and we don't see the pain that they go through day in and day out, I'm sure, that they're dealing with. No one's posting about their struggles. Why would we compare ourselves to something that isn't even real or we don't get to see the whole picture of? I would say there can be good comparisons and there can be bad comparisons in life. I'll give a personal example. We have with what I do, part of what I do is I mentor and manage sales reps. And sales is a pretty tough job to be in. There's a lot of ups and downs. And as sales reps, you try to compare yourself to other people. And if one of your buddies is doing really, really well, or one of your colleagues is doing really well, you feel like you aren't that good. So I try to instruct or help my guys to understand that, hey, you don't want to compare yourself to someone else unless that's going to push you. So if you're like, hey, he's doing well, I know I can do well too, that's good. But if it brings you down and puts you in despair and makes you feel worthless and like you can't succeed and gives you no confidence, then that's not a good comparison you should be making. So I invite all of you to think about how we compare ourselves to others around us, and hopefully we're doing it for the good and not, because if it's negative, actually I'll read this verse, Alma 5:40, "For I say unto you that whatsoever is good cometh from God, and whatsoever is evil cometh from the devil." So if it drives you towards depression and lack of self-worth, then it's probably not a good comparison you should be making. Living up to expectations, this is the second part, including our own. Now this is something I'll be open right now. I've dealt with this my entire life. I'm probably the hardest on myself than even my parents and other people around me. I would argue that this has actually been a good trait, because it's kind of pushed me to try to do my best in certain areas that I want to try to excel in. Sports, I loved sports. I played basketball. And when I was comparing or living up to my expectations, when I didn't perform very well, it pushed me to try harder. And ultimately, I was decent at basketball. And I even saw this, you know, as a son, a missionary, a student, now as a father and husband. I struggle with this internal battle of trying to like be the best I can be. So because of this, I have had constant pressure, and I've tried to push the boundaries in a few areas of my life. Again, I'd go back to the words of Alma: if it brings good and positivity to your life, then it's from God. So if it's helping you to excel and to be better than you were the day before, I think that's good. But again, oftentimes there's a balance. If we're holding ourselves up to such high expectations and we don't fulfill those, we're not gonna be be happy, and we're going to ultimately go down a downward spiral, and that's not God's plan. So be nice to yourselves, and work hard, but don't kill yourself, I guess is what I'm trying to say. So yeah, that's I'll end with this. Elder Johnson said, "My dear friends, please do not let anyone steal your happiness. Do not compare yourself to others. Please remember the loving words of the Savior. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." So how do we do it? How do we find this peace? Remember how we are and overcome the three D's of the adversary. Or that was a question. How do we find this peace? Remember who we are and overcome the three D's of the adversary. And then he said, there's four ways. Remember, the first and great commandment is to love God with our heart, might, mind, and strength. Once obtained, this causes us to serve and love others the same way. Number two, pray unto the Father in the name of Jesus Christ every day, every day, every day. Number three, read and study the Book of Mormon every day, every day, every day. Lastly, prayerfully partake of the sacrament every week, every week, every week. I love this because there's a reason why he repeated himself three times on each of those. And it's funny because I was talking to my wife about this, and Kaylee was like, those are pretty easy primary answers. And I'm like, yep. How many of us have people that we've known that maybe have fallen away from the church? How many of those people that we know were praying every day? They were reading the Book of Mormon every day, and they were coming to church every single week to partake of the sacrament. It's probably not very many, probably zero. That truly is how simple it is. If we can always remember to take those little steps and those do those little primary answers, pray, read, come to church, then it's going to be really hard for us to fall away, and we'll have that confidence, that strength. The Holy Ghost will be with us. We'll have the power to discern what's from God and what's from Satan, and I pray that we can, I pray for my children that they'll have that power and that gift of discernment to know what's of God and what's of Satan. Elder Johnson said, "My friends, I promise that as we strive to love God with all of our heart, pray in the name of Jesus Christ, study the Book of Mormon, and prayerfully partake of the sacrament, we will have the ability, with the strength of the Lord, to overcome the deceptive practices of the adversary, to minimize distractions that limit our divine potential, and to resist the discouragement that diminishes our capacity to feel the love of our Heavenly Father and His Son. We will come to fully understand who we are as sons and daughters of God." Again, I'm grateful that I had the opportunity to revisit this talk. I feel like you always get more out of it when you're giving it rather than receiving it, but hopefully there was something that the Spirit touched your heart with. I know it's true. I know that the Lord is aware of our struggles, of our internal battles that we have within us, and the noise that we have in this world is great, but it's not impossible to overcome and to stay on the path that God wants us to be on. I know that this is the church, and the path that has been put in front of us is the true path, and it only gives us happiness and joy. I leave that with you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Good afternoon, brothers and sisters. It's a pleasure to be able to speak to you today. What Rick talked about is a perfect segue into what I'm going to talk about. He talked about the three D's, I think, according to the world and their standards and their ideas. I want to talk more about the three D's pertaining to the gospel and us as Latter-day Saints. As I was preparing this talk, I actually started as I was coming to the close of my mission because I knew it was going to be hectic when I got home. So I kind of had this idea for a while, and then I got here and a little bit ago, you know, Tom asked me to try to integrate the restoration, and it actually fit perfectly. So just the inspiration that I have felt and the things that I've seen, I mean, it's all just worked perfectly, and I'm really, really excited. I'm very passionate about what I'm going to talk about today, so I apologize if I get emotional. As you guys know, those that have served missions, it's an emotional experience. But So considering the restoration, I know that oftentimes we have heard that this is an ongoing restoration, and I started thinking about what that actually means. And I feel like oftentimes Satan will use those three D's to mislead us and misguide us into not focusing on why these things are so important, such as specifically the restoration, why the restoration is so important, what it is, how it applies to our lives. And we kind of get caught up in this cycle of just doing what we're being told to do instead of really understanding why we're doing it. And so I wanted to ask you guys a question. This is a rhetorical question, so I just want you to think. If I were to ask you guys, what is the doctrinal reasoning behind the restoration, what would you tell me? Or in other words, why is the restoration so important? What is it? How does it apply to our lives? And so to truly be able to comprehend these things and really grasp it, I want to use a quote from Bruce R. McConkie. This is one of my favorite quotes. And in this quote, he's actually referring to the atonement, understanding the atonement. But I think it really applies to every doctrine that that exists. And this is what he says. Many of us have a superficial knowledge and rely upon the Lord and his goodness to see us through the trials and perils of life. But if we are to have faith like Enoch and Elijah, we must believe what they believed, know what they knew, and live as they lived. We must cast aside the philosophies of men and the wisdom of the wise and hearken to that Spirit which is given to us to guide us into all truth. We must search the Scriptures, accepting them as the mind and will and voice of the Lord and the very power of God unto salvation. So I want to talk a little bit about three philosophies that I think are found, that are commonly found amongst us as members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. And I don't want you guys to feel like I'm attacking anybody or any one specific thing, but I just think these are general opinions or concepts that are kind of misleading, and I'm going to integrate that with the three D's that Rick talked about. So the first philosophy that I would like to address is oftentimes, and over the course of the last 2 years, I have seen that there is a common misunderstanding that repentance is something that is scary or maybe bad or shameful. We hesitate if we have to get on our knees and humble ourselves and ask for forgiveness, or we hesitate if we have to go speak to a priesthood leader. And I do not think that that is what our Heavenly Father intended godly sorrow to be. And I want to give you guys, just as Bruce R. McConkie suggests, use the Scripture. So I want to kind of give some of those doctrinal backgrounds on these topics. So the first one that kind of refers this to this repentance and not fearing it is found in Luke 15. And Christ shares two parables. I'm sure you're familiar with it, especially after studying last year the New Testament. The first verse I want to read is Luke 15, verse 7. It says, I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 just persons, which need no repentance. And in verse 10, he continues, likewise I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. Now, I don't want to communicate that sin is a good thing and that it's okay and then we can just go repent. But my true opinion, and I hope that you guys can remember this, I truly believe that godly sorrow brings forth joyful repentance. I honestly think that if we can come to comprehend the redeeming power of our Savior Jesus Christ, we will not hesitate to humble ourselves before our Heavenly Father and come and return to Him. Continuing, I want to talk a little bit about another philosophy, that is trusting in the arm of the flesh. My mission president shared this quote with us one time. He said, if you believe you can or you believe you can't, you're right. And so this is the second philosophy. I feel that as Latter-day Saints, we often think either we can do stuff, we can do something, or we can do everything on our own. We don't need help. Or oftentimes we believe that we just can't do it at all. It's too hard. It's too much. I can't bear this load. Or don't worry, Heavenly Father. Don't worry, Jesus Christ. I got this. but I just had a thought come back to me. Sorry, I want to just backpedal just a second. So referring to the D's, that first thing that I was talking about, repentance, I think the D that applies there is deception. Satan deceives us into thinking that we should be scared to repent. So that's the first D where it ties in. Okay, going back to this, we can or we can't. I want to turn to one of my favorite examples, which is Nephi. I know we all admire him. In 1 Nephi chapter 7, verse 12, he says, "Yea, and how is it that ye have forgotten that the Lord is able to do all things according to his will for the children of men, if it so be that they exercise faith in him? Wherefore, let us be faithful." So, again, back to this, if you believe you can or you believe you can't, you're right. We can do all things if we exercise faith in our Heavenly Father, and we can't do anything if we don't have faith in the capacity of our Heavenly Father to guide us. And now I wanna talk about this, the second D. First one, deception. The second one, what was it, disappointment or
discouragement.
Discouragement? There you go, discouragement. And this ties perfectly in because Nephi, in 2 Nephi chapter 4, we witness a discouraged Nephi, right? He talks about how wretched of a person that he is. And so now using this 2 Nephi, this is chapter 4, verse 19. Nephi says, "And when I desire to rejoice, my heart groaneth because of my sins." So Nephi is discouraged. But this is what he says at the end of the verse. "Nevertheless, I know in whom I have trusted." So this is a great example. Nephi, despite the discouragement that he experiences, he remembers that the Lord is capable of doing all things, and he trusts in him. So we need not fear repentance, and we need to have faith so that we can do all things, and we need to trust in the Lord that he can help us do the things that we can't do on our own. The last philosophy I want to talk about is the concept that we can get into heaven just by checking off all the boxes. And this is the last D, which is distraction. I think Satan oftentimes distracts us into believing that if we just depend, like Bruce R. McConkie says in that quote, if we just rely on the Lord to carry us through all of our trials and tribulations, then like it'll be fine. We just have to come to church every Sunday. We just have to go to the temple. We just have to keep our covenants and it's all fine and dandy. Just make sure it gets done and there you go. But I think it goes far beyond that. And the example I want to use here is in Moses 6. And before I talk about Moses 6, I want you guys to remember the baptismal covenant. So John 3:5, it's something that came to, I gained a lot of understanding serving a mission. And you know, the purpose is that we're there to help people come to the waters of baptisms, to baptism. And John 3:5 says, "Except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." And I really want to highlight that it says, "Except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." So I remember sitting and thinking, what does that mean, "and of the Spirit"? And so Moses 6, 59 and 60, I'm not going to read all of it for lack of time, but it basically says, "And inasmuch as you were born into the world by water and blood and the Spirit, which I have made, and so become of dust, a living soul, every man, you must be born again into the kingdom of heaven." And verse 60 says, "For by the water ye keep the commandment, by the Spirit ye are justified, and by the blood ye are sanctified." So I think our Heavenly Father, the reason why he gives us these applications, these guidelines that we are able to follow, is so that we can come to an understanding of the why. We can learn by the Spirit, we can come to knowledge of all truth so that we may be justified by the Spirit and sanctified by the blood of our Savior, Jesus Christ. So again, just doing just summing it all up, that first one, right? Deception. Do not allow that Satan deceive you into believing that repentance is shameful or scary, or you should just try to avoid it and do everything that you're supposed to do. Just check off all the boxes. I think the second thing is have faith and trust in your Heavenly Father. Don't be too prideful to not turn to him, and don't feel so deceived and discouraged that you can't turn to him. And lastly, I don't think that our Heavenly Father just intends for us to check off boxes. I think he gives us guidelines so that we will come to understand by the Spirit why we do the things that we do, and truly come to understand our Savior Jesus Christ. At the end of that quote, I just want to read one little thing here. He says, "We must cast aside the philosophies of men and the wisdom of the wise and hearken to that Spirit which is given to us to guide us into all truth." And he says, into all truth, but we know that the truth is Jesus Christ, right? I am the way, the truth, and the life. So truly, this the purpose of all this is just what Rick mentions, right? The whole purpose that we can help our Heavenly Father in his purpose to bring to pass the immortality and eternal life of man. And that is why we must court the Spirit into our lives so that we can become more like him. It's not just about checking off the boxes. And so to finish up, I think my greatest fear, and the reason why I want to talk to you guys about this today, is found in 2 Timothy. And this is one of my favorite scriptures, and it is something that I continue to think about as I go about my daily life, and I think, okay, I need to study my scriptures, I need to say my personal prayers. This is what it says. And this is my fear. I don't want us to become these types of people, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. And I believe that truly can happen to us as Latter-day Saints if we allow Satan to implement these D's into our lives in the spiritual sense. We can be ever learning, but never truly coming to know our Savior, Jesus Christ. And to finish, I want to just read one more. And it's found in Alma 26, and this kind of sums it all up. And it says, "Yea, he that repenteth and exerciseth faith and bringeth forth good works and prayeth continually without ceasing, unto such it is given to know the mysteries of God, yea, unto such it shall be given to reveal the things which never have been revealed, yea, and it shall be given unto such to bring thousands of souls in repentance." I'm gonna read that again. "And it shall be given unto such to bring thousands of souls unto repentance." We are given this understanding, everything that we receive, all of these blessings, this knowledge, is so that we can serve our Heavenly Father, so that we can partake of his work, or participate in his work, and experience that joy, even as it has been given unto us to bring these, our brethren, to repentance. I want to finish with the words of a hymn, "Dear to the Heart of the Shepherd," and this is the last verse. And I'm just going to read the last little bit. "Yes, blessed Master, we will. Make us thy true under-shepherds. Give us a love that is deep. Send us out into the desert, seeking thy wandering sheep. Out in the desert they wander, hungry and helpless and cold. Off to the rescue we will hasten, bringing them back to the fold." That's the grand purpose. This is why we must remember why we are doing the things that we're doing. We have to come to that understanding instead of just having that surface level understanding and just depending that if we just do everything that we're told to do, then Heavenly Father will just carry us to the end. I want to share with you my testimony that true joy and happiness is found in the service of our Heavenly Father and truly coming to know our Savior Jesus Christ. I long to be like Jesus, and I'm coming to know him better, and I would invite all of us to do the same, because that's the only thing that really matters. I know that my Savior lives. I know that the Book of Mormon is a testament of Jesus Christ that prepares us for the second coming of the Messiah. I know that Joseph Smith saw God the Father and Jesus Christ in the grove that sacred morning of 1820. I'm very thankful for the opportunity I had to serve the people of Uruguay the last 2 years. And I'm very thankful. I want to thank all of you that have sacrificed time to serve your Heavenly Father and invite you to continue going forward. I say these things in the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
I'd like to thank Brother Schoaf and Elder Lesh for their words and inspiration today. And we also like to thank Sister Clifford for her help in the music, along with Brother Jackman. We'll go ahead and have the closing hymn, hymn number 2, The Spirit of God, and then the benediction will be offered by Tiffany Wilcock.
Our dear Father in heaven, we're so grateful to be here today to renew our covenants. We're thankful for the speakers today. We ask thee to help us to avoid the 3 D's, and please help us to joyfully repent and partake of our Savior's gift to us. Please bless all those who need a special blessing, especially our little Andrew's baby of this ward and all others suffering. And we say these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.